Good afternoon and welcome to A Public Affair here on WORT. My name is Norman Stockwell and I'm your host today. We are going to have a special public affair today, taking a humorous look at politics, and we're going to be interviewing during this program a gentleman who is well known to Madison audiences, Mr. George Shrub of the Committee to Intervene Anywhere, who will be giving us his right view of politics, and we'll be doing that throughout the hour, and also taking your questions and comments and calls and things like that. We have with us by telephone from a secret undisclosed location the well-known Mr. George Shrub of the Committee to Intervene Anywhere. Mr. Shrub, welcome to WORT's airwaves.
Good morning. It's very nice to be here and to supervise once again.
Mr. Shrub, we're going to be speaking to you today about the various issues that are in the news, and I thought maybe we'd start by talking about the one that is most prominent in all of our minds, the war in Iraq. Tell us a little bit about how things are going over there in Iraq. I understand that, according to at least Senator John McCain, things are getting safer there.
Yes, well, I notice people always like to ask how things are going, but if you parse that, there's an implied, you know, going somewhere, as if we're going to go to redeploy, to go home. There's no going on over there, let me assure you.
Now, you mentioned the issue of redeployment, and I must say that that word always strikes me as kind of odd, because when you say redeploy, it sort of makes it sound like you're going to deploy them somewhere else when you're done with them in their current location.
Well, yes, there were mistakes made. They made themselves, if memory serves. And so, yes, it's important to redeploy. But people think that we don't plan these things. We do plan them. We just don't plan them very well. But we have an exit strategy. We have, it's called Iran. And we had an earlier one, actually, but it didn't fly in the focus groups. It was called Rapture, but somehow it just didn't enrapture the people. So we're looking at the Iran thing, because actually Iran, of course, is the main problem in the region now that Iraq has been tidied up.
Isn't it sort of difficult, though, because they're kind of confusing the issue when they talk about redeployment? The Republicans usually say that that would be a situation of cutting and ranning.
They're referring to cutting to Iran, but it's code. It's just a little thing. When you're discussing policy, you need to have the discussion be between the president and the Republicans in the Congress. If you let the Democrats in on it, well, then the enemy might find out. After all, they all went to the same schools. For example, Senator Osama, or whatever his name is. His middle name is Hussein, I know that much. But no, Hussein, that's right. I got him confused with the Irish terrorists. This fella, who, is not even really from here, or at least his father wasn't. I don't know when the immigrants started telling us what to do about our war on immigrants. But anyhow, there has been so much confusion because people will not leave it to the experts. The president has explained this very well. You can't talk about a war during a war. It's just common sense. It just, you know, empowers the enemy to think that there's dissension over here. We try to explain to them that that's what democracy is that you have Democrats.
We have a caller who wants to intervene, Mr. Shrub, and so we're going to open up the phone lines here. And hello, caller, you're on the air.
Well, they told me there was a shadow government, and it's a great privilege to speak to Mr. Shadow himself. And along those lines, I was talking to the big dick himself, the shooter, and he was asking me how can he best get us into this war with on Iran. We need some ideas for pretext. So I said, I think you ought to do something really dumb and obvious like 9/11 and just blow up something and make it look like you've got some scapegoat and blame it on them. Like blow up a building when no plane even hit it, and pretend a plane went into the Pentagon and nothing did. So I said maybe you ought to just take out one of the cities that we don't need here in the U.S. And he thought of taking out part of Washington, D.C. So I said that I thought that was a good idea. What does Shrub think? Thank you.
Thank you very much for that call.
I want to thank the caller for interests in making me look rational. But I will forward that idea on to the authorities in, I don't know if it'll be a sort of a five-sided building or a circular file there. Yeah, we do have high hopes that we will be able to provoke the Iranians into an unprovoked attack on us, which we will have to respond to with a defensive airstrike. Life is so passive-aggressive anymore, you know. The Oriental Mine, which is, I don't know if you know, the Oriental Mine starts in Jerusalem and goes over to Saipan. But anyhow, they don't really understand the connection between cause and effect. So they don't understand that when we arrest some of their people or blame them for something when they're in Iraq, that that's ultimately going to result in them seizing British sailors, and then that ultimately that will result in us taking the British sailors back.
Did I hear that they were going to rechristen that British ship the Pueblo?
Well, the Maine, you know, there's a betting pool in the office that I that don't have anywhere. But anyhow, there are a lot of people taking an interest in this, and it goes back to the nuclear problem in Iran. I don't know why the Iranians feel that they have to have the nukes just because the U.S. and Israel and Pakistan and India and China have them, and all of them somewhat nearby, especially the United States, of course. But we have been organizing a grand coalition of the more than willing who are very concerned about Iranian imperialism. They're trying to take over the Middle East there, which is our job, of course. So we've got Britain and Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Israel, basically the axis of us. And the most wonderful thing about this that I know your listeners will appreciate is that we're using actually free money to do this. It's actually Saudi money, which is, you know, grows on the, well, they don't have trees. It grows in the sand there. It's a kind of a strategy to use their money to work against Iran. I guess you could call it a sort of a contra-Iran strategy. And that's very important because you can't negotiate with them. The offer is open, but they won't, you know. We will sit down and negotiate with them as soon as they're willing to capitulate. Then we're very happy to negotiate. But for some reason, again, they don't understand the cause and effect there.
We're talking about current events in the news, and we asked you on here today, Mr. Shrub, to give us the right perspective on things. And I noticed that one of the scandals that's really been sort of racking Washington is what happened at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center. And so I see that in honor of April Fool's Day, President Bush did tour the Walter Reed Army Medical Center on Friday for the first time since the Washington Post reported on the substandard conditions there.
Well, you know, everything lands on the president's desk, even things like torture, which, of course, belong on Mr. Cheney's desk. But I wasn't able to keep up on all the details of Walter Reed because at the same time I needed to be paying attention to actual national security issues such as Anna Nicole Smith questions and so forth. They required all of my attention. But I do think it's important that we urge everyone to support the troops and to do it now before they come home to the hospital, because by then it's too late. Basically, if you wouldn't get injured in the first place, you would just go over there and win the war, but then you can't because of the newspapers, the left liberal press that's always trying to lose these wars for us.
Another thing that's really been racing around both in the press and out of it is the firings of eight U.S. attorneys. And I guess Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez again defended himself more directly against the accusations. He said he approved them, but he refuted claims that he had discussed them. And so not quite sure what that means, but I did see where Dan Bartlett, White House counsel, said President Bush absolutely has full confidence in the Attorney General, and the reason why he does is for exactly what he said today. He's a stand-up guy.
Well, I've been to a lot of comedy clubs, and I've seen a lot of stand-up guys, and I trust them all. I believe that the president has exhibited through his sense of humor what a stand-up guy he is, repeatedly, if not over and over. But Al Gonzalez is in a tough spot because they found it necessary during December to let some prosecutors go. It seems to me, reviewing the situation, that the Decemberists, or the December 8, or whatever they're called, had been very slow in prosecuting, Democrats, and so it was necessary to get more efficiency in there. Now, you haven't mentioned the key part of this, which is that Karl Rove supposedly passed on the complaints about them, although, to be fair, he may have heard it from Bob Novak. We don't really know where this comes from. But to answer your point, approving of things without discussing them, and really not the conundrum that you're trying to make it into. It's actually a lot simpler because there's no email trail when you just approve things without discussing them. Discussion is always a problem, as we learned from Mr. Nixon, didn't we?
And joining us now, another caller. And hello, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Norm. I'd like to ask your guest, because I'm getting kind of impatient. What is taking so long about doing something about Cuba, which rightfully should be the 51st state? I mean, we won it fair and square back in 1898, but for some reason they were stupid enough to give the country its independence again. We just need to teach the inhabitants there how to speak English, and they'll make great support workers for the vast tourist industry. What's taking so long? Thanks.
The reason that we weren't able to deal with them was that they were able to unite with a number of other forces protecting themselves from our good intentions in what was known as the Terrorist International. This they formed some decades ago, together with the Iria, North Koran, and East Nicador, and then they joined with the Bulgaroids and then worked with the Soviets. But another reason that we can't just go in there and take over is that it's not Grenada. They have more than a million people there, you know, and that would actually cause three or four Americans to die. Now, I don't know if you know this, but American lives are worth approximately between 40 and 210 of other various types of lives that there are. So this is a very expensive proposition. And more what we try to do, and I realize this is a bit nuanced, it's not nuanced, that's French. It's complicated, so bear with me on this. What we have tried to do, rather than to directly intervene with our own armies as became necessary in Iraq, is to encourage the local forces to rise up and then ask for our aid. This is what we are doing, for example, in Venezuela, where they have this wannabe dictator, Chavez. I say wannabe because his problem, you see, is that he keeps getting elected, so that makes it difficult to be the dictator. But there he is, and he's oppressing his people and forcing them to read and eat and this sort of thing. So we encourage the opposition. In fact, we formed an organization there of the opposition to unite them, exactly the same name as the one we formed in Nicaragua when they were ruled by the Red Terror Sandinista Junta some years back. As we know, since Cuba is a dictatorship, when Fidel Castro dies, all the people will immediately become democratic. They're suffering down there under another form of oppression, and that is the metric form of oppression. They have a metric system, and when they were going to steal the Panama Canal, actually Panama Noriega was going to give it to them, the first thing they would have done is convert that into a metric canal. Can you imagine the havoc that this would be like taking oil off the dollar and selling it on the euro? And you didn't hear that from me. It's not an idea or anything.
Taking your calls at 256-2001. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm listening to the discussion. There's a lot of confusion going on there, man. That other caller is talking about a 51st state. He hasn't even been watching the news, man. We already got 54 states. We got Puerto Rico, we got Canada, we got Israel, and we got Iraq. And that's 54. When we get to Cuba, that's 55, and Venezuela will be 56.
Well, I think the caller is overly sanguine. Now, these are not all actually states. States is something that the Congress has to vote on, and the Congress had nothing to do with any of this. This is all handled through the IMF. And Israel decided that they didn't want to be a state because then they would only actually have two senators. So they withdrew from that process. But you see, we have other categories besides states. We have possessions, and we have wholly owned subsidiaries, and then we have Halliburton. Well, they have us. That's some kind of a Bahrainian outfit that helps us out quite a bit. It's difficult to understand this, I know, caller, because the distinction between states and corporations has become somewhat muddied. As we know, a corporation is a person, and states are made up of people, so that if you get a large enough corporation like Walmart, you might think that Walmart is a state, although, of course, they're bigger than most states put together, so that would be a step down for them. Not for Canada, but for Walmart it would be.
256-2001, we have another caller holding on the line, and hello, caller, you're on the air.
I was curious to know if he has any suggestions for the people in this country to remain complacent or perhaps even to become more so, and I'd appreciate his comments. Thank you.
First of all, we have a new holiday that we're trying to push through Congress, but we may just declare it if we can't get it through with just a signing statement or something. We're going to have something called Buy Everything Day. Actually, it's going to be Buy Everything Month. Because as the president explained after 9/11, the important thing is to go out and shop. We had, in fact, at that time, a color-coded alert system that explained that to people, that the green, which was the lowest level, that it was perfectly safe and you were free to go shopping, but at the blue level just above that was called guarded condition, and you had to take a guard with you. And people learned a lot from this system, and people can be vigilant against unpatriotic activities, even anti-democratic activities such as voter fraud. It has to be pointed out that a lot of people are trying to vote. Some people are saying we're engaging in voter fraud, but I think it's an important thing is that overvoting is a big problem. Felons voting, you don't want somebody who actually went to jail for stealing someone else's marijuana to be deciding which country we're going to be invading next. I don't think so. So lots of things people can do to participate in non-participation.
The president has to get appropriations from the Congress. So what about all these people in Congress that are running for president right now?
None of them are appropriate, as far as I can tell. And they don't understand that if they act inappropriately and try to unappropriate the funds or, say, redeploy them to somewhere else, other war, it'll be vetoed. And by the way, President Bush has vetoed almost no bills. Only one or two, he just ignores the rest. So this business about him vetoing, I mean, that's a serious thing if he's forced to say that, because he's a friendly fella. He's not one to be combative across the aisle or anything like that, unless provoked. But provoked he is. Some of these candidates, I mean, Mr. Obama, I talked about, is outside of the mainstream. He's clearly anti-Israel. You know that he opposes cluster bombs, and cluster bombs are Semitic, as we know, and were very useful against the other parasemitics in Lebanon recently. John Edwards, of course, the noted campaign scholar Ann Coulter has explained his propensity to be outside of the sexual spectrum. We know that he's married, but gays do marry these days. The gay men don't usually marry the women, but it does happen as a kind of a devious thing. And he's also opposed to cluster bombs, and which is, you know, that's fairly faggistic. So I think, again, it's going to come down to values. It's going to come down to traditional family values and the right for America to defend itself and destroy other families that it doesn't recognize versus the Democrat Party, which wants to basically make the whole country look like San Francisco.
Speaking with Mr. George Shrub on this special day after April Fool's Day edition of A Public Affair, also taking your calls at 256-2001. We just have about 3 or 4 minutes left, but we do have a caller on the line right now for Mr. Shrub. And hello, caller, you're on the air.
I was calling in because, as your guest may realize, the state of Wisconsin is like way out in front in terms of being the big brother in the Total Information Awareness Society, and that we're requiring, you know, immigrants to finally fork over their documents or to get driver's license, and then pretty soon all the farmers in the state will be required to register their animals. And I was just wondering, you know, how else do you think we can facilitate this tracking process? I mean, should we be requiring all infants to get microchipped when they're born, or can we put something in the water? I guess I'm just curious how we can better ensure that all the citizens are tracked and all their possessions are tracked at all the time. Thanks.
Well, that really warms the cockles of my, well, I don't have one of those actually, but it is a warming thing to hear that you're doing such good work. I was not aware that there were children being born who were not receiving the implants, and I have made a note of that. But information is a very important. A little knowledge is a gangrenous thing, and that's why we're trying to corral that into a place where you don't have to look at it. And I know that some folks feel in some way impinged upon, but folks, we are at war. Everything's different now, and if you're not reading the wrong books, you have nothing to worry about. I do apologize we had to destroy the Bill of Rights in order to save it, but keep in mind that you have only lost, I think it's just Amendments 1, 4, 5, and 6. You can count them on one hand. And it's only just for the duration of the war, which is a permanent one.
Well, Mr. George Shrub of the Committee to Intervene Anywhere and his not-so-evil twin, Dave Lipman, thank you so much for joining us today.